Welcome to Real Men, Real Talk, Unscripted, the podcast that deals with the heart of manhood. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hamm, and I'm here to explore the real issues facing men today, from the dynamics of relationships and personal growth to mental health challenges and even more. In this space, we break down stereotypes and engage in honest, unfiltered discussions about what it truly means to be a man in today's world. So I want you to join us as we share stories, insights, and experiences in a raw, unscripted environment. It is my desire to inspire, challenge, and encourage men from all around the world to become a better version of themselves. So get ready now for a powerful episode. Everybody, welcome back to the podcast. This is Dr. Hamm, and I'm super excited about this time that we're about to share together. Thank you for meeting me in this space, and I pray that you are experiencing God's best for your life. Today, I want to talk about a man and his purpose. What is my purpose? Why am I here? Have you ever asked yourself that question? And I know that a lot of people go through life never getting the answer. And so I want to help you today that there are three types of purposes that we have as human beings. We have united purpose, which is the purpose we come together. We join with others to accomplish a mission or a goal. And then we have what we call universal purpose. And of course, according to the scriptures, our universal purpose is to glorify God. And then we have unique purpose. And our unique purpose are those purposes that God has planned for our life that are unique to us individually. All right. And also as a species, as men or male versus female, there are certain responsibilities. There are certain purposes that God has designed for our life. Ultimately, we were created to glorify God, as I said before. But there is an earthly purpose, an individual purpose, collective purpose, and a spiritual purpose. So there have been many inventors, think about this, throughout the ages whose inventions have made it possible for us to live the life that we live today. But deep within the mind of that inventor lays the intent and the purpose for the thing that he created, he or she. So before the chair that you may be sitting in or the car that you're riding in, before it was invented, there had to be a vision for it. There was a need to be fulfilled. And so I want to submit to you that there is a need for you. You are needed today. Everything that was created is created with purpose in mind, and only the creator of that thing can define that purpose. And I believe as a believer that the scripture defines our purpose as man. In Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11, it says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." So we see in this scripture that God has a plan for your life. And if God has a plan for your life, that means that the enemy has strategies to keep you from fulfilling that plan and to ultimately prevent you from fulfilling your purpose, the purpose that God designed for you. Whenever God decides to move in your life, there's always demonic and satanic opposition that will come to try to block that move. But you as a man have to stand straight and understand that God have need of you. So I like to say it like this: God has a plan, but the devil has strategies. That's right. Now, you may not be a religious person, may not be a church going person, but I submit to you that you need to have a relationship with God because he is your creator. He is your inventor, and he has the answers to all of our problems. See, the enemy's purpose is to deter you from something, to detour you, and to devastate you. He wants to deter you from fulfilling the plan that God has for your life. He wants to detour you, in other words, delay you from getting to where you need to be at a specific time. And then he wants to devastate you by causing you not to accomplish what you desire to accomplish in your life. He wants to discourage you or restrain you from acting or proceeding with the plan of God that he has for you. So he wants to detour you by making you go around God's principle to achieve the success that you want. But success, and you got to understand this, can never be achieved without God. And finally, he wants to deprive you of your courage, deprive you of hope and confidence by placing obstacles in your path, placing problems and situations and circumstances in your path to slow you down. So please understand that if you are not a force to be reckoned with and a representation of God here in the earth, the enemy would not even be working overtime against you. So as we go deeper, I want us to understand that there is a divine purpose for all men, regardless of their race, their nationality, social status, or sexual orientation for that matter, or even your financial status. There's a divine purpose that is deep within each male that is essential for future generations. Generations cannot come forth without you, for God created you to continue the generations. And the person that don't believe that is a person that is walking in error. The purpose of life, which is contrary to popular belief, is not just to live as best as you can. It's not just to be here to do what you want to do. Life is not just about accumulating material wealth or getting married or even having children. It's not just about that. It's about fulfilling the purpose for which you were created, which in return will bless the future generations. So we as men have to have a legacy mentality that we are essential for future generations. There are many who believe that life has no purpose. They believe that when you die, it's all over. It's like turning off the light switch. But I don't believe that. It's inconceivable for me to imagine that God, the Almighty God, would create man just to live a life and die without a reason or without a purpose. The problem is that the purpose for which we were created has been lost because men have failed to listen to the messengers that God sent throughout the Bible, throughout the scriptures. And even in today's time, those mentors who are set in your life to teach you the truth of God's word. There's so many social media things out there now. People are listening. They are being mentored by social media. But we need to go back to the old school and find a mentor that you can respect, a mentor that you will allow to correct you, a mentor that you respect enough to honor your word before them. All right. So all of the many prophets and evangelists who have been around, who we've heard, most of them were not successful or allowed to be successful. They were persecuted, they were slandered, and some were even killed. Now, I know there's a lot of people that are, especially in today's time, messing up and saying things in error. And I believe that one of those reasons is because of a lack of fathers, a lack of mentors that are set to help guide you in the way that you should go. They even killed the Son of Man, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. He was sent here to bring truth. He was sent here to bring revelation to the world, and they still took his life. They didn't want to hear what God wanted for them. They didn't want to hear what he had given for their existence. And whenever you listen or you rely on your own voice, your purpose is going to be truly lost. Listen, y'all, the reason why is because you did not create yourself. Therefore, you cannot give yourself purpose. God has given you purpose. Now, you can set goals and you can make plans, but the purpose for which you were created comes from God. You know, the world is so confused now because there are a lot of similarities between man and woman. However, there is one thing that a woman can never be, and I want you to get this, is that she could never be a seed bearer. And in the same way, there is something unique about a woman that is that she is the incubator of the seed. The man can never have a baby. The man can incubate the seed. So there's a purpose for both. It's not that anyone is more important. In order for future generations to come forth, there must be a seed and there must be an incubator. All right. So purpose is tied up in the functionality of the thing that is created. Who needs a chair that cannot hold your weight? Who needs a car that sits in the driveway but can't drive? It has to fulfill the purpose for which it was created. All right. So both man and women were created after the image of God. In Genesis 1 and the first part of verse 28, God said, it says that God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in numbers," or multiply, "fill the earth and subdue it." So the purpose was to fill the earth and to subdue it, to be fruitful and multiply in human beings as well as everything else, because he's given us dominion over the earth. The first blessing that God gave to Adam and Eve was the blessing of procreation. And he placed within the loins of Adam the power of the seed. And that seed could increase in numbers. And of course, this could not be done alone. He also needed the woman to fulfill his purpose. All right. So the primary purpose for us as men and for our existence is to produce offspring, to be a, and not only to produce it, but to be a father, to protect it and to provide. Now, listen, think about this. Within every seed, there is a genetic code called a DNA. And what that is a series of codes of coding, kind of like a computer coding or commands that comes from God. And inside that DNA is a command to multiply. A seed do not produce another seed only. It produces seeds. In other words, once it started, it continued to go throughout the generations. An apple seed will grow into an apple tree, and then it will produce the fruit that contains many other seeds, and it continues to go and to expand. Everything about God is about expansion and increase. Light, the very first time God said, "Let there be light," listen, light has been expanding 186,000 miles per second from the beginning of time, and it's still expanding. All right. So how could so much come out of so little? One little seed. He even says that if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to mountains, "Be moved," and they will be moved out of your way. You got to believe it in your heart. Well, the reason why so much can come out of such a little thing is that that seed has a command that's already programmed inside of it to multiply. You are supposed to be above and not beneath. You're supposed to be the lender and not the borrower. You are above. All right. That is a command for you. And so likewise, inside of us, there is a God-given purpose and there is a God-given command for us to multiply and to increase. There's a seed in every living creature that enables it to produce after its own kind. Genesis chapter 1 and verses 11 and 12. And I'm not doing a Bible study, but I really want to reference the points that we're making today. It says, "And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind. Those seeds is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and the herbs yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, though whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good." So now we go on to Genesis chapter 12. Adam wanted a son. I want you to get this now. Adam went to God. He wanted a son. He didn't have a son to carry on the generations. And remember, whenever you ask God for something, he always want greater. He always want more for you. You have to begin to think that. All right. Think that way. God wanted nations. Adam wanted a son. So the true purpose of man is found in this interaction between God and Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1-3. And I'm reading King James Version. It says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred," or your family, "and from your father's house into a land which I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." So God's desire for man, for you and for me, is to make your name great. There are several promises, seven, as a matter of fact, promises in this one particular scripture. We see here that God told Abram, he was Abram at the time until God changed his name. He told Abram to get away from his father's house and to go to a place that I will show you. So first of all, I got to be obedient. Do what God tells you to do. Don't look at what someone else is doing and just desire to do that. What is God telling you to do? So in this scripture, we see the seven promises that God gave to Abram. And these seven promises are, I will bring nations out of you. I will bring generations out of you. I will bless you. All right. That's number two. Number three, he says, I will make your name great. That's legacy. Number four, he says, and you shall be blessed. Then he says, I will bless them that bless you. Then I will curse those who curse you. And all families of the earth shall be blessed through you. So these seven promises still apply to us today. They are still a part of our purpose. Genesis 15, verse 1 through 5, it says, After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Eleazar of Damascus, who was not his son. And Abram said, You have given me no children, so a servant in my house will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him, This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. He took him outside and said, Look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you cannot count them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited to him as righteousness. So it says, God, no matter what I achieve in my life, no matter what I have, you haven't given me any children. So what does it all mean? He says, So when I pass away, my inheritance will go to Eleazar of Damascus. And then God had to tell him, No, you're going to have a child. Now, they were getting pretty old, Abram and Sarah. At that time was getting pretty old. Their time for childbearing was gone. They were already old. All right. And so God said, No, you're going to have a son. There is a purpose for you because I've already told you that nations are going to come out of you. And listen, some of you men, listen, people have spoken over your life when you was younger. You're going through life. You may not even be in church, but you understand that there is a God. You believe in your heart. You know what has been spoken over your life. Don't allow the enemy to take that out of your mind. Pick yourself up. Understand who you are and that you have a purpose, that God created you. All right. And understand, God, that if I believe what the Lord says, that my offspring shall come, he will credit that to you for righteousness. So Abraham is having a conversation with God because he's concerned that he did not have a son to inherit his riches. Some of you may be saying, Well, I don't have any riches. You have riches. You have knowledge. You have intellectual property, even if you don't have physical property. You have a contribution if you just understand what that is and really focus on your purpose. So Abram is having this conversation with God because he's concerned that he did not have a son to inherit his riches. And we see from the beginning of chapter 12, if you go back and read that God told Abram the nations would come from you. So how can God promise you something but then cut off the way that you're going to get it? So Abram, whose name became Abraham, was only asking for a son though, so that his inheritance would be passed to him. But God was looking for nations. You may ask God for something today and this is just what you want, but God wants bigger for you. He wants more to come out of you. Remember that whatever you want for your life, God wants much, much more than you can even imagine. He had to show Abram the stars. He said, Come outside, look up. Can you count the stars? When I was in Operation Desert Storm, we were out in the middle of the desert there in Saudi Arabia, and at nighttime, I had never saw stars so many stars when the skies were clear. And I just began to look up, and I was amazed at the amount of stars and how clear they were. It looks as if though you can reach up and grab them. So God shows Abram, he says, look at the stars. Can you count them? He says, this is my purpose for you, that nations, just like the stars, are going to come out of you. If you read more in that scripture, he took him down to the seashore and said, look at the sand. Can you count each grain of sand? He says, no, nations, that's how nations are going to come out of you. So I want more for you than just the selfish part of just having your generations come forth. You're going to be a blessing to every nation. And I want to speak that to you, that you are a blessing, not just to your own family, but everybody that you come into contact with. When you get yourself together, understand that you are a man of purpose. And I believe that the ultimate purpose of man is to bring forth generations, but also to display the goodness of God. In order for God to bring forth nations, he had to place the ability inside of you. He gave you the seed to produce. I want you to see that you are greater than what you think of yourself. You have a divine purpose that is part of God's plan to bring forth generations, to bless nations. And this is why the enemy has stepped up his attack on you in today's society. Men are dealing with issues. We have to be macho and we have to show strength, but yet and still, many men have emotional deficits. Many men feel rejected and abused, misunderstood. But you are a man of purpose. A man was the first human to be created, the first to be in a relationship with God, and the first to be placed in an environment of abundance with a purpose in the Garden of Eden. For this to happen, God gave man everything that he needed. He gave man wisdom. He told him to name the animals. He gave instructions for the garden. All of this happened before the woman even came on the scene. Well, the woman was actually inside of the man. Let me say this, y'all. Man actually gave birth before the woman did. Remember in Genesis chapter 1, we won't go there, but it says that God created man in his likeness and in his image created him male and female. So the spirit of man was male and female, but then he formed the body from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the scripture says that man became a living soul. Now, so where was the woman? She was still inside of him, but he made the male first. He made the body first, breathe into the body, the spirit. And now he gives instruction to men. And now he saw that he was lonely. That word lonely does not mean he was just longing for somebody. He'd never been around anybody. So how can you miss something you didn't have? What it means is that in order to fulfill the mandate to multiply and to replenish the earth, he needed his other part. All right. And so God caused man to fall asleep, took a rib, created the woman, brought her to him. He says, this is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. The woman came out of man. So he was the first to give a birth to a human being, which was the woman. All right. And then God pre-established the purpose of each gender. Okay. So the enemy knows that this is why you desire to bless God when you know these things. And he knows that his desire is to interrupt the relationship that God has for you with him. All right. So sometimes he will use the woman to attack the man, just as he used the woman in the garden to cause Adam to sin against God. All right. Now, I'm not blaming women for the transgressions of men, but I am saying that they do have influence. And that's why it's important for our women also to be taught how to be that support structure for a man if the man is standing in his God-ordained place. Men hear so many negative things from women and from other men. There are so many women that will emasculate a man because of their frustration and their irritation due to her expectations not being met. And I believe that most of the time men lower themselves and become passive because they want to satisfy the woman or keep the peace. But if you know who you are, and if you know your divine purpose, you will not allow anyone to bring you down. A real man will seek to glorify God, and in doing so, he will automatically meet her expectations. So you have purpose. You were created and designed with purpose. Within you lies the seed for increase. Within you lies the seed for overflow. Not just in producing children, but even in business, even in your relationship, there's a seed inside of you for overflow. There's a seed inside of you for abundance. I pray that you are blessed by the word and that you are encouraged to understand what your purpose is. God says that he know the plan he has for you. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, but to bring you to an expected outcome. And that wraps up this episode of Real Men, Real Talk, Unscripted. I'm Dr. Ronald Hamm, and it's been an absolute privilege to share this time with you. A huge thanks to everyone who joined us today. But before I sign off, I want to encourage you to reach out. Follow us on our social media platforms at Dr. Hamm, DocTorHamm. You can follow us on our website at ronaldhamm.com or by email at realmenrealtalkunscripted@gmail.com. I want to hear your thoughts. I want to see your suggestions as we explore future episodes. This conversation doesn't stop here. It's just getting started. So until next time, keep pushing. Keep this conversation going and never forget that the power of being real and unscripted is what we need. This is Dr. Hamm signing off from Real Men, Real Talk, Unscripted. Take care, everybody.